Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Coach Lalisa Show this morning. Well, I tell you, we just have, what, two more days, and it's birthday for some, and some will be eating fish and other poultries, and it's just going to be a glorious day. Well, I'm getting ready. I hope you are getting ready. And as we get closer and closer, we want to wish you a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. And we hope you enjoy your family and friends. If you're traveling, we certainly wish you all the greatest and wonderful and safe travel wherever you might be. We want to just take a moment and give a shout out to all our friends and those of you who are listening by the switchboard. You know, every now and then we have a little technical difficulties, but that's the challenge of the internet, you know. It doesn't come near the internet. Most of us know it's an awesome, awesome tool, very powerful, very dynamic tool. But it doesn't come without its challenges. So we have a few challenges, but don't fret, don't frown, because guess what? We're going to get it straightened out in just a moment. So we are just want to continue to welcome you. Welcome to those of you, all of our good friends down in Texas, down in Plains, something Texas. I know it's Plains, something with a plane. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, Miss Adele, wherever you might be, because I realize that you also may be traveling. Welcome to Miss Cynthia down in North Carolina. If you were able to tune in this morning, welcome Hope in Cincinnati, Ohio. Thank you for all your support and encouragement for the show. I want to say good morning to my niece, Nikki and Ania. I know sometimes Ania does get a chance to listen to the show. She's able to go back and listen to the archives. So we want to just continue to try our best to make an impact on the lives of people. We want people living changed lives. We want you living fulfilled lives. We want you to live the life of your dream. And we want to help you get there. You got a dream? Let's live it. If you don't got a dream, let's dream it. Let's get that dream going. Let's find out what it is that you really, really, really want in life. And sometimes, just sometimes, in order to do that, we have to find out what's blocking us, what's stopping us, where are the obstacles. When we see problems, we don't just run from them. When we see problems, we look at another opportunity to solve it, to figure it out. When that problem comes our way, we're looking for the exit strategy. We're looking for the plan on how we're going over it, how we're going around it, or how we're going to just bulldoze straight through it. But the one thing we don't do, and that is we don't stop. We don't give up. It's like Adele said yesterday, she's like the Energizer Bunny. Remember that commercial they usually show it around Christmas time? Because they want people to go out and buy a lot of batteries for all the gadgets that we're going to purchase. But here we have the Energizer Bunny, and they said, it just keeps going, keeps going. That's what you want to be. If you truly want to reach any goal in life, you want to just keep going, keep going. And the thing that's going to help you, the energy that's going to allow you, enable you to keep going, is something we call motivation. But we can't talk about motivation, as we were so eloquently reminded on yesterday, Monday. You need passion. You got to get your passion. What are you passionate about? And to find out what you're passionate about, sometimes it's very simple. You just look at what is it that you love doing? What is it that you absolutely enjoy doing? And if that passionate thing does not get you where you want to be, look to see what else you're passionate about. You know, many of us, we could have more than just one passion. So look and see what it is you're passionate about. Now, yesterday we were talking about motivation and success. And then I threw in motivation, success, and also self-confidence. You know, we got to keep that self-confidence high. Because if you don't believe in yourself, I mean, really, come on, let's face it. Some people associate self-confidence with being conceited, but I don't see it that way. You know, there is a such thing as being arrogant, being prideful. But that's not what we're talking about. You just have to have a basic belief in yourself. You have to, in other words, you have to have a vision for your life. You have to see yourself achieving something, some goal in life that you want to set for yourself. You know, a dream is, you know, just a dream. But someone said, a goal is a dream with a date to it. A goal is a dream with a date to it. Oh, wonderful. Good morning. I see your hand up, Adele. I wasn't able to get to my switchboard earlier, so I'm going to open up your phone line. And also welcome to Miss, I think that's Deborah, also in Dallas. Welcome, Miss Tina. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful, and yourself?
Oh, listen, I am excited now, and thank God for allowing me to have the ability to have more than one computer, because my other laptop is absolutely frozen, so I couldn't even open the chat room. But I got the other one out, and here we are.
Yes, we are.
So, yes, we were talking yesterday about motivation, success, and we left off with Miss Tina calling in and talking about fear of success. So I said we're going to pick up today and continue talking about that. And certainly, Miss Tina, if you didn't get a chance to make your point, please just push your number one key, and we will certainly open up your phone line, and you can continue to make your point about success and how some people can actually have a fear of either success or failure. And then today I said I was going to talk a little bit about the difference between the two. But what did you have to say on the subject, Miss Adele?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Lalisa, because some people do fear success. And I look at it and I say that's what paralyzes them. It's the fear of the unknown. You never had success, and so you don't know what success feels like. But unless you step into it and experience it, you know, how would you know? But people have this perception of what success is. They've defined it, and it's like, oh, my God, if I go after success, it's going to stop me. And that's why I said the paralyzation. They paralyze themselves before they ever get there. And, you know, I just think people should open themselves up more to find out what is this thing called success and how does it really feel? And start telling themselves, walk into it. And when I say walk into it, just imagine, close their eyes for a second and imagine, what does that feel like for them?
Yes. And, you know, that's a good analogy or a good definition for the fear of success, is that having that fear of the unknown. So, therefore, because what happens is you actually, like you say, you paralyze yourself and you hinder yourself from going forward in the thing because you don't know what success is going to, how it's going to change your life. And a lot of times, success in a certain area, it is going to bring about change.
But change is good. My son told me that years ago as a little boy. He said, Ma, change is good. And I thought, wow, because I was harping on something at a time where I had an office, and they were telling me I had to move. And I thought, I've been here for 5 years, and now I got to move my office. I got to find new office space. And my son came to me, and I think he was 14 or 15 at the time, and he said, Ma, I just finished reading the article. Look at this. Change is good. So, you know, yes, success means change, but it's for the good, not for the bad. And I think people need to look at it that way. Success can be for the good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Change can definitely for the good. And some behaviors that I've seen where people have this great fear, let's just say, of failure, for instance. When I've seen people with a great fear of failure, oftentimes some of the behaviors that we see is where they try to be perfect because you don't want to fail. And so sometimes what can be attached to a fear of failure is actually also a fear, it's like a pride because you want to make sure you get it right because you don't want to be known as a failure. You don't want to be seen as you failed at something. Sometimes if you see people on the job, sometimes you'll see their behavior will be the behavior of a perfectionist, always wanting to get it right because they actually have such a fear of failure. They don't want to fail. And sometimes people have confused fear of failure with fear of success. And because they saw, you know, they told the person who really had a fear of success, that person who doesn't want to complete something, that typically the person who drops out of school or the person who drops out of this project or the person who drops that project, well, they're not necessarily fearing failure, okay, because the minute you dropped out, you've kind of failed at that. But with that person typically has a fear of success. They don't want to complete it because of this kind of unknown, and I'm not quite sure what my life, what my emotions, what my feelings are even going to be once I complete it. And if you build that up in a very young age, then it's almost like you might send your body or your emotions, your mind, you're all kind of into a state of shock. So the thing is, just keep kind of giving up. But that's not necessarily a fear of failure. That's a fear of success. Because, again, the fear of failure is more like where you're going to work as hard as you can on it. Some people who have a fear of failure are sometimes run down a lot physically because they're so tirelessly working to get it right and to get it done because they don't want to fail. They don't want to look like they failed at something. They don't want to look like they couldn't handle it or they couldn't get it done. But anyway, that's just, you know, some of the research that I've done because I've talked about this topic extensively. Actually, I have a CD on the fear of success, and I put it out before on Facebook, and I actually got quite a bit of feedback from it. People were very thankful that I brought this topic up because a lot of people, they don't know the difference between the two, and they really didn't know what some of the signs and symptoms were for the fear of success, really, or the fear of failure, because they were confusing the two. Back to you.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Lalisa, because some of that fear stems from childhood. What their parents may have told them as they were growing up. You know, I love psychology, so I do a lot of reading on psychology, because I've always wondered as a child, what makes people tick? What makes them do what they do? But if you always hear your parents say, you know, money don't grow on trees, or what do you think? My name is Rockefeller. Then your concept of having a whole lot of money, being successful, is kind of out the window. That's not something I want because your parents may have painted not such a good picture of being successful. And so that's where some of that fear may stem from.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. Most of what happens is certainly a lot of it stems from the childhood beliefs, the childhood concepts and beliefs that we were brought up with, that we learned along the way. We were taught, well, all of it we were pretty much taught somewhere along the way, or we caught it from the behaviors of those around us. But it could have been home, could have been school, could have been in the community, could have been in so many places where we went on a regular basis and was fed daily with different notions and concepts and beliefs. And then we adopted those beliefs as our own. And that of course, is much easier to do when you're a small child and you can't decipher a whole lot of, because you don't have a whole lot of experiences yet to compare it to. Now, as adults, when we, you know, every belief we have that we've had since whatever age 6 months for that matter, any belief that belief, back then you just believed that your parents were going to feed you and change you and what have you. But all the beliefs that we have now that we are adults and we have control of our mind, we can change our beliefs. We don't have to hold on to them. See, but that's another belief system. There are some people who believe, I'm stuck with this. This is how I think. And I've even heard people say, oh, I've always been like this. This is how I always been. Or they may say, well, my mother was this way and my father was like this, and that's why I'm like this. Some will even reach back into their great, great, great grandparents' lineage and pull forth beliefs. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, for instance, you may have from your great grandmother or your mother the belief to pay your bills, belief to have no debt. You may have the belief that every child should have his own. So some beliefs you absolutely want to keep. So we're not talking about ditching everything. However, we do need to sometimes, people need to have the authority to ditch everything that's not working for you, that's not serving you justice, and it's not feeding your vision and your passion and the direction for your future so that you can be satisfied and fulfilled. You know, it's one thing if you're living a fulfilled life, but if you are empty, not totally satisfied, if you still have, you know, a lot of resentment for people, unforgiveness, if you still twinge when you hear certain people's names, or, you know, that's when you know you're really not living fulfilled. If you're still getting up, going to a job that you know you don't want to go to, that you know you don't even like the work, let alone liking the company, or vice versa. You could like the work and don't like the company. Either way, for those people who like the work and don't like the company, then you need to take that work and see if you can make that work your own business so that you can love the work and love the company. Some people like the company but don't like the work. Well, then that's simple. Then you just go and you get assertive enough to go and talk to a higher up, let them know, I'm not happy doing this job. I believe I would be capable doing a blah, blah, blah job. And the best way to do that in a company is don't seem to have an opening. Well, what I found is one way, and there's several ways. But one way is to volunteer in another department on your off time or your downtime so that a person can really see, because the companies, they don't like to risk unless it's calculated. So they're not just going to take your word for it that you're good at something else, especially if you're not a superstar at what you're doing. But you show them that you're good at something else. Now they have no choice but to believe you. And like the Word of God says, your gift will make room for you. But if you can't exercise your gift, how can it make room for you? That's like people who sit back and say, oh, I'm a singer and I'm going to wait for a contract before I begin in places for free. You'll never get a contract. Because your gift has to make room for you, but it's going to make room for you as you're using it. Those people who say, well, I'm good at this or I'm good at... Yeah, well, nobody knows you're good at it. Therefore, your gift, you're not allowing your gift to make room for you. Go ahead.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Lalisa, because, you know, you went scripture, and that's true. That's Proverbs, and I love that because your gifts do make room for you. And it was a conversation I was having with my sister yesterday because scripturally it says, if you do this, I will do that. And so I would like to encourage everyone who's listening just to take that first step. Take your first walk to success and see what that feels like. Trust me. Once it starts feeling good, you'll take the next step and you'll keep stepping because success is not bad. It's really great. It leads you. You know, it says your gifts will make room for you and bring you before great men. So walking into success will lead you to more successful people, people who are where you want to be or people who feel and act and do just like you want to do, be successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something to think about. You know, what does success feel like for you, Lalisa? Tell us.
Success. Well, again, it's not, you know, like a one-shot deal. However, I try to look at many sides of success. So, for one, I look at the understanding that and the knowledge that it is not a destination. I think that was my biggest learning about success.
Okay.
I learned, yes, when I was in my 30s, and I learned that success was not a destination, but a journey. And in many things I had heard growing up, but I never understood them. So later in life, you know, as you have various experiences or you go around the bush a few times, finally understanding will come. Isn't all you're getting, get an understanding. So eventually, you know, you need to understand something. So I finally understood that success was not a destination. And because I had to write papers on it, at the junior college where I was going to Essex County College, one of the courses that we had to take was a course they made us take was a course called, this one thing about sometimes going to certain schools and different places, they make you do these little assignments that initially seem like such hard work. And or it could, especially for a person like me, who flunked out of school, who hated the education and thought it was absolutely worthless. What it happens is it forces you to kind of think and look at some things that you really wouldn't have either even considered. So here I was having to consider what success was, what it meant to me, and that there was a course that they made us take, like an intuitive, introspective kind of course, looking at what you're really about. Wasn't it psychology? We took that, but it was these other little courses that they kind of make you take. You don't get any college credits for them. They call them zero-level classes. But they're good because they realize in the junior colleges that a lot of the students there may have missed a lot of things growing up or in high school, so they try to give it to you in one semester. But the point is that that's my biggest learning, was that it's not a destiny, it's a journey, and that it's ongoing. So therefore, what happened with and that success, okay, and so people say, well, you know, it's a lot of things to a lot of people. For some people, it's a car. For some people, it's the house. For some people, it's the marriage. For some people, it's the divorce. For some people, it's the new. You know, it could be a lot of things. And what people are really saying, but the way I see it, when they say that, is the same thing. It's the accomplishment of something. Because if you're saying it's the house, then it was the accomplishment of you getting the house. If you're saying it was a car, it was the accomplishment of you getting the car. If you're saying it was marriage, then it was the accomplishment of you getting married. So then what's the core thread between all the people's, you know, definitions of success? What's the common theme there? And it's the accomplishment of something. And so that's why when you go to Webster or various places like that and look for a definition, one of the definitions for success it will give you is when you accomplish a thing or accomplish a goal. Again, the house was the goal for some. For some, it's college education. For some, it's marriage. For some, it's all three. For some, it's college, marriage, house, car, children, retirement, you know, like that. They have a whole, and again, all of those things are a journey. you don't just get 18 and get all of that. So all of those things are journeys, and it's the journey in our life. For some people,
but would you say, Lalisa, everybody is successful, basically, because everybody's
absolutely
been on some journeys.
Yes.
Everybody has accomplished something in their life. So whether they realize it or not, they're successful. Would
exactly
you say that?
I would absolutely say that. And here's the thing. What the problem sometimes is that people, because of what they believe, when they believe that success is a destination, that it's a place that you're going to arrive, and at that place, they have a laundry list of things that would have to have been accomplished. When the basic definition is just because success is an accomplishment. So in other words, let's just say it's 2010, and I've accomplished some things this year, and I'm successful. When it comes to 2011, now I have new things I want to accomplish. So I want to continue on my journey of success. So it's not like I'm going to stop. I can't stop at my accomplishments in 2010, the things that I've accomplished. No, it's ongoing. That's the part about looking at it as a journey. It's a continuing thing. In terms of a person being success, we've succeeded at things. Same thing with failure. I'm not a failure. I failed at some things. I failed the first time I tried to get out of high school.
But did you really fail, Lalisa, or was it a learning lesson?
Okay, absolutely, I learned, but I'm just saying, I'm not a failure. That's the big difference. I'm not a failure.
Right, you're not. And nobody is, really. Nobody who's
nobody
listening
is
to yourself, nobody failed in life. I believe
we
that everybody in life.
Oh, we don't.
Go ahead.
Right, whatever people want to call it. I mean, not a failure, no. Because I'm not the thing. You know, maybe I didn't complete something, and a lot of times we use the word failure for that.
Yeah.
I learned from not completing. I didn't complete, that's absolutely. They would show at that school that she didn't complete high school. That's what I'm just saying, at that particular time.
Uh-huh.
That's what they would put on my record. And here's the thing, but yes, though I did go back and complete. So it's basically, in this country, part of our language teaches us that when we don't complete something, the word we attach to that is the word called failure. Because what I also learned was that words don't have meaning. We give them meaning. So the word failure could mean so many. That's why words can mean so many different things. Because, you know, young people can take the word failure, and that might mean that you're king of the community. You know, they took the word dope, and that meant good. That meant something great.
Yeah, it's funny what we do with language. Languaging,
sure,
and how we turn it around. But, you know, when you look at that, how they take some word, a word that may mean something negative, and turn it into a positive for themselves, it's a great picker-upper, a great building the confidence level. So where we may have looked at it and said, oh, my God, that's negative, and a younger person takes it and turns it into a positive, it's a great way to build that confidence level.
Yes, 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 yes. And so this, when we were talking about this fear of success, for those people who may suffer with, because you don't want to be on either extreme, this whole fear of failing, again, having this notion where you got to tire yourself out and wear yourself out because you can't afford to make a mistake, because you don't want to appear that you failed at something. And again, just the basic definition of the word, not you know, saying that you are a failure, but that you failed at something in life. You know, you failed to get that project done on time. For some people, and on their jobs, they would rather disappear before they let a supervisor or a manager or anyone know that they couldn't get it done. They'd rather fail sick and or crazy. Because they don't want that attached to their name. So that's why I know for me, I didn't have a fear of failure, because I would just walk away from something in a heartbeat. That was never a fear of mine. I'd right smack dab a weekend or a month in and he's done with it and gone. Okay.
You know,
I didn't really have a fear of failure. But what I never knew about, nobody ever told me about, was this thing that was called the fear of success. And that's for people who won't. A lot of times, that's for people who almost complete nothing. So they're the exact opposite. The people with the fear of failure is the person who would work hard and almost kill themselves to get something done, sacrifice everything to get it done, family, friends, what have you, their own health, because they don't want to be known as a person who didn't get it done versus a person who has a fear of success. They will walk away from anything because they're afraid to go that extra mile to get it done because because that's such an unknown for them at that point. And until you, and fear of any sort will end once we do it. So once I went on and completed, you know, it started with going back and getting that degree that, you know, bless you. When
Thank
I went
you.
Back and got, that gave me my first burst of being okay with completing something. It's sad to think that if people really don't understand, I'm sure the psychologists know that it can really be crippling and paralyzing, this fear of success. And it goes so unnoticed in our society. I believe that half of these young people who are locked up in jail, because so many of them, a high portion of them dropped out of school, I believe that if we were to be able to analyze them psychologically, we would find that many of them have at the basis of this fear of success. They may have other things as well, but I would almost believe that they have a fear of success. That's just my opinion.
But you know what, Lalisa? I truly, you know, I was listening to you and I was thinking about myself, because for me it was like success was something, was a driving force for me. It was like all my life I wanted to be successful. And so if I failed at something, you know, use that word failure, but it was like, I got to get up and I got to do it again, because I got to keep going until I get it right. And I believe if everybody look at it that way, if they just start pushing yourself to what I'm going to say, that higher call, that higher mark in their life, they'll reach it and they'll see how good it feels. You know, I was listening to you and I was thinking about back in myself. It's like, oh, my God. It was like I had to keep at it until I got it right. And that's the way I look at success. Keep going at it. Eventually, you're going to get there and it's going to feel good.
Now, what sounds like to me, Adele, because I know a little bit of your background and some of the very positive role models and things that you were involved in at a very, very early age, that there are a lot of people who have a very healthy viewpoint on things like achievement, accomplishment, goals.
Mm-hmm.
See, and here's the problem. There are a lot of people who didn't. And these individuals are out here in the society trying to make their own way, and they didn't necessarily have it healthy. It's just like with a food. In some households, there was very healthy food, and it's available for everybody, absolutely. But what happened in that person's household, sometimes is a lot different than what happened somewhere else. And so if you grew up in a household where maybe there was, you know, there was not the kind of support, not the kind of encouragement, again, you know, people use the term, oh, I grew up in a dysfunctional family. And sometimes people, again, that's another word that people have all different kinds of ideas of what that means. But
right.
Again, if you're in a family who did not teach you properly about the differences about success and achievement and goal attainment and failing sometimes and getting back up and how it feels when you complete, being there with you to support you through that scary time, through the times of change, you can end up with this imbalance, with this situation where you can get there. I'm, you know, just using me as an example. That's what happened to me in terms of this fear of success. I'm not sure if it came from the, you know, the abuse, the sexual abuse as a child. Maybe that's where it came. Okay? But wherever it came from, it was real, and it was there. And so, you know, for those individuals who may still be battling with that, and again, what does it look like? What's the application? What does it play out to look like, this fear of success? It looks like I won't start anything. I won't go for it. And what happens, a person that is very talented and very gifted, sometimes we wonder, why won't they use their gifts? Why won't they use their talents? They're just being selfish. I'm just saying, this could be some of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, and underlying that is a fear of success. And like I'm saying, sometimes that's very seldom addressed when dealing with people like that. And I think that if it's addressed more, it's like anything, once it's exposed and brought to light, the minute something is exposed and brought to light, so many people are set free, and it's like they run out of the prison, they run out of the jail, simply because the light went on. And I really think that's what's happening here. I think that's what's going to go forth for a lot of people with this topic of that fear of success and understanding exactly what it can do to you when a person hasn't. And it's not that they haven't succeeded. That's not the no. They have succeeded, and that's why they didn't notice. You know how you get those people who really didn't even know they succeeded at anything?
I know. That. And then it's like when you point it out to them, they go, oh, my God, I am successful. And they just couldn't see it. But, you know, sometimes people can see in us what we can't see in ourselves.
Yeah, that's Jahari window. We did that in one of our training classes where, you know, the Jahari window, and you have,
right,
the four quadrants. There's that side of us that others can see that we can't.
Absolutely. And
I love doing that with people, and that's another thing that a lot of people, again, they're not aware of, that they, this Jahari window and how that plays out. So I love doing that in workshops and groups. But I wanted to see if anyone else had a comment or a question on this topic, fear of success. What's your outlook? What's your opinion? What do you think? Have comments in the chat room. Please type them in. I will be glad to make them. Talking this morning about fear of success. But I definitely think that this is definitely a break. Now, somebody said they've been told that. Okay, so are you saying that you've been told that you have a fear of success, or that you've been told that this thing exists? What exactly have you been told? Johnny Slim, sorry, I have to get back to you on that one. That's what Coach K said. Okay, Coach K, get back to me. I'll be waiting. And good morning also. And good morning also, Kiva and Q Bonito. Es la vida. Yeah, so, yeah, I want to know. I'm curious to see what others have heard about this fear of success and fear of failure. And again, I mean, as we teach, there was one of the courses that we were teaching at the college, and with business, we talk about this fear of success and organizational behavior. Again, in the workplace, we can see it even in our homes with our children. And especially if you have children, especially if you have young people, now that you know about this, you can begin to assess your children's, you know, abilities and skills and their perceptions to make sure that they don't pick up from somewhere. Because, again, a child who may not get a lot of support to finish something and complete something might, because, you know, sometimes it's just kind of natural sometimes to get tired halfway through something. And if you don't have anyone there to kind of root you on and kind of give you those compliments along the way and encourage you to finish it, then you could build up that habit of just letting go. But in the chat room, Q says sometimes people fear success because they don't know if they can live up to their achievements. Wow.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Lita, that is now very, and sometimes it's in their own mind. Because you know what? He is so on target with that. He said that sometimes people fear success because they don't know if they can live up to their own achievements. And you, wow, you know, and I, you know what? I really think that was part of my problem with high school and why I dropped out. I didn't feel really that I was worthy of a high school. I felt that it just didn't seem achievable for me for some reason. I just didn't feel worthy. And that's probably what was behind it. I didn't know if I could live up to. I thought it was a big thing. I thought graduating, and I know part of this did have to do with being sexually abused as a kid, because a lot of things in life, I saw them much bigger than I saw them like giants, and I was a grasshopper. Yeah, like that scripture when they went and Caleb and them went over to spy out the land, and the ones who went with them, they saw themselves as grasshoppers, and the people in the land as giants. I saw everything as so much bigger than Lil Lisa, and even though I love my name today, Lil Lisa. But you see, names, believe it or not, mean a lot to kids. And I had this notion that name meant little, and here I'm too little, I'm so little, I can't handle big things. And then at the same time, my body frame was kind of little because I didn't eat a lot, so I was a little slim, kind of skinny little kid. Not that most kids aren't skinny at that age. I just, a lot of things were in play there, and I really didn't feel that I could live up. Wow, that's great. Now, Johnny Slim said that he had always been too critical of himself. So then did you, and then yes, my self-defeating, he said. So I'm wondering if since you were so critical of yourself, do you think that led to you having this sense of a fear of failure or a fear of success? Because sometimes when people are real critical of themselves, that's what makes them want to achieve and best. That they want to make sure that they're not ever looking like they failed at something, or they didn't complete something, or they didn't finish something, or they didn't do it right, or they didn't do it great. I've seen that happen. Actually, I know my sister won't mind me sharing this. My other sister, not the one who tunes in on this show, but I have another sister who had that. Like a fear of failure. And for her, the other term that we used was perfection. And she had to get delivered from it because it was causing her stress and worry. She was on the job, and she had to be the best, and she had to look the best always. And I don't mean physical looking. I mean whatever project that her hand touched, there could be not flaw. And the problem with that is that you'll never live up to that. You will never, ever do everything perfect, never. But you can always strive for perfection. You can always strive for excellence. But that can also hold people back, too, Mr. Q. You're right. When people are striving to do the great, and you, because you're not going to, you see, people, it's very, very serious issues here we're talking about. But anyway, Coach K said failure is only there when you don't at least try. That's true in the sense of the word failure. You're absolutely right. But right now, we're kind of talking about just a person who has this fear of it. We understand that what failure, yes, and what success is. But we're talking now about people who have this fear of it, and therefore it is holding them back from either doing something or it's keeping them living at peace and happiness, like with my sister who had that fear of failing. She didn't want to fail at anything, and so she worked so hard that she was making herself stressful and worried and even bringing on possibly illnesses until she got set free from it and delivered. And because what that can also play out to is it could borderline a lot of pride. You know, I'm so prideful that my stuff can't ever be have a flaw. And that's not true, people. You're going to have a flaw. Maybe nobody ever told you this, but you're going to make a mistake. And I, just like with books, I know there are people who are not writing their books because they're afraid they won't find an editor who can perfectly edit their book. Well, you might as well go on and write it because you're not. Every book, and I'd read a lot of textbooks for the past 20, I've never seen a book that didn't have a mistake, ever.
Even, you know, I just said that even the popular books have some mistakes in it, LaLisa.
Wait, Stephen Covey, I don't. You name me one book, bring it, and I'll show you a mistake in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a fallacy to think that you're going to be perfect at everything you do. You may get by with some things that were mistake-free. Don't get me wrong. Your resume, we know that's going to be mistake-free. That's only one page. You're going to have read it 100 times. But we know there are going to be some things that you will do. Go get a pair of shoes. There's going to be a mistake in that leather somewhere. There's going to be a stitch out of place somewhere. I don't care if it's an Armani suit. It could be whatever.
And that, those are good and valid points. Because I always look at it and say, God didn't create perfection, so why are we going against his will? He created us, but in terms of us stressing ourselves to be perfect.
We sure ain't perfect.
No, because every day we do something that may not be right. But if we can tell ourselves it's okay and move on, then, you know, life is great. You know, it's wonderful, at least I think, because, you know, you mentioned something about your sister being a perfectionist, and I came from that sense of I had to be perfect, and not only
she
that, but it could be
delivered.
Because I grew up in my little thinking that I was stupid. I thought I was stupid, all because I constantly heard my parents say that my sister was smart. So it's the perceptions that we bring upon our own selves, and until we get to the realization that, wait a minute, I'm better than that, you know, that I can be successful, I don't have to live in the shadow of somebody else.
That's right. Exactly. And so, yeah, so we had some pretty good discussion going on there in the chat room. And so, Coach K, absolutely, Coach. We are successes. We are every failure. We're not failures. We are success. And we achieve success. Because, again, but you're right. And Dale was saying that earlier. Since success is the achievement of something, then, of course, we're all a success. Like I said, you achieved just even getting up today is an achievement.
Yes.
And what I like about it, here's where I like to go with this thing, because as a coach and as a motivational speaker like you, Adele, and Coach K, and so many others of you here on with us today, here's what I like to look at. What's my next thing that I'm going to achieve? See, that's what I'm looking at. The next thing I'm going to get success at. Is it running for New Jersey State Senator? Now that I know that success is the achievement of a thing. See, that's how, though I dropped out of high school, that's how I was able to go back and get those other degrees, because once I realized what success really was, it's the achievement of something. So therefore, I don't need to fear now. All I need to do is find a way to achieve it. So in other words, when I took myself back to the 11th grade, all I would have had to do was go talk to a couple of counselors, go talk to a few teachers, get a few extra homework assignments, could have still graduated. But you see, because I didn't understand how the power of achievement and what that means, that success and achievement go together. Again, if I think success is a car, then I need to go to the car lot and talk to the car dealer and say, what do I need to do to drive a car off your lot? They may tell me, get good credit, bring me $1,000, show me check stubs for the past year. Now I can go achieve that. I may not have a job. I may not have a bank account, and I may not have, you know, credit at that point. Now, but I can go and achieve that now because I know what it takes. Same thing when it came to starting the business. I didn't know what it took. So I spent a long part of my life thinking, I'll never have my own business. I'll always just work for someone. And for me, I translated working for someone being a slave. That's just my own personal thing that I did. This is not for anybody else. It's I did. And so, because in my heart, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I never knew how. So I always told myself it can never happen. So since I was denying myself the opportunity to be an entrepreneur, I then translated that into, well, I'm a slave. And so when I learned what it took, then I just went and put the pieces together. So the minute you go, you know, so now we can be a success at whatever. Same thing with being a politician. So I said, well, what does it take to run for office? Well, what does it take to be a politician? Well, you have to get elected, right? What does it take to get elected? Well, you have to run first. Well, what does it take to run? You got to know a lot of people that will come vote for you, or you got to tell a lot of people. You don't have to know them all, but you got to tell them all to come vote for you and then make sure they get out there that day and vote, you know, like that. And so once you know what it takes to achieve something, I think it's much easier to go and achieve it.
You know, and I would agree with you because, you know, my favorite book and is your favorite book also that says our people perish for the lack of knowledge. But once we gain the knowledge, then we can be successful because now we know what to do in order to reach the successful status.
Okay. Now we have, yes, absolutely. And then in the chat room, okay, she said, okay, oh, we have some good discussion going on here. Okay, Abe Lincoln once stated, take all your failures in life and you'll find a formula for success. Oh, I like that. And then
yes.
Hypno Solution says, yeah, says Edison was a great example. That's right, because when he told that he had failed over 2,000 times trying to invent the light bulb. Absolutely. And then he said he didn't fail 2,000 times. He said he found that 2,000 times it didn't work. And then on that 2,001 time, it did work. And then Johnny Slim said, example, I apply for a job. I get the job. They feel I'm not capable. So I go and start my own project and succeed at it. Okay. Johnny, show me a person who hasn't gone through something before seeing prosperity. So good. But yeah, success is just really, well, I think this is good discussion. So you were saying, Adele, about success and how people should keep at it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, don't stop. You know, the minute you stop, then you don't know if you could be successful. But if you keep at it, you know, it's like, who was it? Was it the coach that's in the chat room that quoted Abe Lincoln? Because the thing is, keep doing it. I mean, you don't know. My favorite person that I think about right now, and I tell people, is Walt Disney. How many banks turned him down? Turned him down before the one bank saw his dream. And his dream came into fruition. So, but if he had just stopped at the first bank who said, no, we can't see a park with a dancing mouse in it, what have you, no, that's not going to ever happen, we would not have Disneyland and Disney World today. We wouldn't have it. But it's perseverance, persistence. If you use those two things, and I always throw passion in there, that so it makes it three P's. But if you use them, you don't know what you can materialize in your life that will draw you even closer to being the successful person that you want to be.
Yes, exactly. You know, there's so many opportunities out here today that we really wanted to. I think this is a great time going as we get closer and closer to the end of 2010, and as we get closer and closer to a whole new decade with 2011, I think this is a great time to throw fear to the, you know, to the back burner, okay, and get ready for the great and many successes that are going to come our way and opportunities to achieve success. And again, yes, we are successful. Yes, we are. But we want to talk about achieving certain goals, what we can call it goals. It's the same kind of thing. What goals do you want to set for yourself? What things do you want to achieve? What do you want to do? Again, it could be, you know, to start a business. It could be to write a book, make a CD. It could be to start a certain type of company. You know, whatever it is, we're not going to let the fear of failure hold us back. We're not going to let the fear of success hold us back. And again, only looking at success in the sense that we would be afraid to go for it. Again, when we look at so many people who are sitting on their gifts and talents, you've got to wonder what's behind it. We know that every symptom has an underlying cause. That's why we can't just skirt over it and say, it's wonderful. Yes, we know everyone is successful. But we got to get to the heart of why people have, and especially Adele, with the work that you're doing, out here motivating people, what have you, we got to get to the heart of why people have so many talents and gifts, but yet will not use them. Why do people stay on jobs that they absolutely hate, jobs that are even dragging down their health, staying in relationships that they don't even want to be in? Why? When they have, especially in the workplace and the job situation, when they have other dreams and desires, they have other passions even passionate about some things. Why do they continue?
You know, Lalisa.
Go ahead.
You know, I think that's where you and I come in as coaches to help them break through whatever it is that's blocking them to getting to their success. That's where we come in to be able to help them to break, get that breakthrough, because they don't have to be stuck there.
Yeah, how can we help them get to a place where they are doing it? I know you're doing it, absolutely. And yes, we know that Abe Lincoln did it, okay? We have many examples in the Bible. We know that Les Brown is doing it. We know that Michael Jordan did it. We know that this one and that one is doing it. But we want to know, why aren't you doing it? Why are you not utilizing your gifts and your talents, and or why you holding back, not putting forth your dream? And how, okay, better is the devil you know that you want to, okay, take the first step, great. All it takes is one person to see your vision and run with it. Yes, wonderful. Well, you guess what, Adele, can you believe we're already down to 1 minute?
Oh, my God. Time goes by so fast when we're having fun.
Guess what? Tomorrow, Mr. Walker will not be able to be with us. He may call in. He is on the road, and he is traveling. And so he will be doing events, and he won't be able to do the show tomorrow. However, he may call in, so we will definitely, you know, keep it light, because he's going to be maybe in the airport, and you know how it is with airports. They may call you to another gate, or they may call you to the airplane, and so he can't, you know, make that hard and fast that he'll be here. But we'll be here. I'll definitely be here. And I hope you'll be here, too. We hope all of you will be here tomorrow. And we're going to, you know, get to the bottom of this. We're going to really, we want to help some come tomorrow with your ideas, with your concepts, the things that you really, really want to do. You don't have to tell us exactly what it is, but enough that we can really help and pull you. We want to pull you to that place where it is that you really want to be so that you truly enjoy in life. And I'll be calling you later, Adele, because I need you to pull me. And I hope there's somebody to pull you. If not, I'll pull you. But we
exactly.
all got to pull.
We got to pull each other because I need that too, Melissa.
I know. I'm sorry, but I want to be pulled, y'all. I need to, Kiva, you know I'll be calling you. Tina, listen, y'all, we got to be pulled, people, into where we need to go. Sisters, brothers, you call yourself my sister, my brother, but then pull me into my next destiny, my next level. I want to go there. I want to go. And sometimes people need a pull. Some people do need a push. You need that push. We can push you too. But I like the pull because, see, when I'm pulling somebody, that means I've already gotten there. So I can tell you what it's like. That's why, Adele, you already doing a lot of things that I want to do. So that's why I'm going to you. I want you to pull me there. See, you've
right.
already had the various speaking engagements that you've already had the work, the training inside the companies. So I need you to pull me.
But
see,
if we can,
because go ahead.
If we can pull each other up, how much more successful will we be? Because we're not going to the top by ourselves. We have each other to go there together.
Yep. So, y'all, you got to find that person that's going to pull you. So that's all we have time for today. We thank you. Thank you again, Adele. Thank you, Tina.
So
and
cool.
all of those. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Linda, Jamila. Thank you. Thank you. I'm definitely going to call you today. Yesterday I got so caught up and busy, but today I will have time after lunch. And everybody have a great, super, thank you, Coach K, Q Bonita, thank you, Hypno Solutions and Kiva, all of those in the chat room, though they can't hear me because we stopped streaming. But
okay.
they go back and listen to the archive, they will. I will talk to you a little bit later, Adele.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, y'all, have a great and powerful day.